Mini episode 528 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross here. Football talking FDH Lounge dignitaries. We're taking a look back at the 2014 season and ahead to 2015, our early off-season look. This time around, we're taking a look at the AFC South and a division that did not go according to our expectations going in. And
this so that's is because one we're idiots.
Well, we went against the chalk, and the chalk was right. For once, the public, the knuckle scrapers, what have you, everybody that just penciled in Indianapolis without even thinking about it, was right. I know I forecast Houston to be in an 8-8 tie with Indianapolis and to win the tiebreaker to take the division at 8-8. You and I have looked at this again. Indianapolis has been immune from the whole regression the last couple of years. It's not as bad as the first year in 2012 with Andrew Luck, but they keep overshooting the runway vis-a-vis the Pythagorean expectations for the season.
Well, you're right. It's not quite as bad. I mean, look, it's still tied up in that ridiculous first year,
right,
where they had the worst point differential ever by an 11-5 team. They were actually,
yes,
outscored during the regular season, which is,
right,
just mind-blowing.
Shades of when the Giants won the Super Bowl,
yeah, but
the year before.
You know, it's a flawed roster throughout, yep, except for the one key position, Andrew Luck.
Well, they're going to get back Robert Mathis. Now, we don't know after an injury like that if he's going to be at 100% next year, but he's as important to the defense as Luck is to the offense.
I don't want to simplify things. I don't want to give a mouth breather take, but it's this simple with the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a mea culpa with the Colts. I did it mid-year. I don't think they're a great team, and we saw. I know they beat Denver in the playoffs. I didn't see that coming necessarily, although I laid off that game because I didn't feel good about it. But then they got annihilated by the Patriots, as they always. I mean, they've gotten annihilated by the Patriots every time they've played.
Yes.
Like, really bad. But looking at the Colts in just their division.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they have Andrew Luck and the other three teams have unsettled quarterback situations, the Colts are just going to keep winning this division.
That's true.
Houston's dressing up a couple guys named Ryan, a couple backups named Ryan, pardon me, in starter's clothing.
Ryan Mallett looked good in a limited time.
I am not on board with that.
Really?
Man. No.
I'm on board with trying him.
I'll tell you what else I'm not on board with is what? Tennessee's endorsement of Zach Mettenberger.
No.
Because he did not look good. I don't
know.
Yeah, I mean, only Ken Wisenhunt, I think, thought he saw something.
Oh, they absolutely need to make a move for QB.
See, I don't know if they're going to at the number two pick. And then Jacksonville, look, Blake Bortles still gets it incomplete. He got thrown into the Wolves.
Agreed.
But, look, I mean, I don't care what you say. You know, we talk about the Patriots and their relation to the rest of the AFC East. It's the same thing with the Colts in this division. They've got the great quarterback. I mean, Chuck Pagano's mm-hmm. certainly not Bill Belichick, but they've got the great quarterback, and the other three teams don't have aren't settled there. So
right.
The Colts are going to keep winning this division until that's different. You talk about the record in close games with Indianapolis, 20-4 over 3 years. That's
yeah.
ridiculous. That eventually, and I don't want to wish injury on anyone, so someone,
right.
But I don't know if one of these other three teams gets it right at the quarterback position and makes a miracle run, and
right.
and the Colts. I don't know, maybe there's an Andrew Luck injury, and they just start losing all these close games or whatnot. But while they've gone 11-5 all of his 3 years, they've been a better 11-5, if that
yeah.
makes sense, with each passing year.
I would agree with that. And I would say additionally that, you know, again, this is a roster that has some holes in it. And
Ryan Grigson has done a very lousy job here.
Yeah.
And Bill Polian was not exactly his former self in his waning years here.
That's true. That's true. They need to upgrade this roster.
Almost everywhere.
Running back and defense. The wide receiver core and tight end is okay.
Wide receiver, yeah, it's fine because offensive, the quarterback. Because they're always going to benefit from the quarterback.
Offensive line is not bad. But I agree with you, and I'm going to postulate here. that they're so far head and shoulders above the division with Andrew Luck. I think it'll happen sometime in the next couple of years. You and I apparently don't think it's going to be this year. And the scenario we called for 2014 will be how it happens. They'll slip back enough to get into a tie with somebody. Other team wins the tiebreaker, because that's always how it happens in this league. There's always an Arizona Cardinals or somebody in there to ruin the playoffs for you by being undeserving. And that's how Indianapolis will miss the playoffs, is if Houston can even rally to a tie for them in the next 2 years, because Tennessee and Jacksonville are not even that close.
No, they're not. Do you think the Colts – look, they're 2-1 against Denver now?
Yeah.
The last 2 years? Yeah. The Luck versus Manning games?
Yeah.
Have they passed the Broncos in the AFC echelon?
Yes.
Could the Colts, because of the division – keep in mind, they're 12-0 against the division the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Can't be any better than that.
Yeah.
Can this team be the number one seed in the AFC next year, as flawed as we think the roster is?
Well, let's take a look here. They've got the NFC South that they're dealing with next year. That will help. And that will help, I think, across the board in terms of playing an actual legitimate NFC division. But then in the AFC, they are all going to be facing the AFC East teams. And that's going to be...
Other than New England. Well, I mean, we know New England. We could pencil that in as a loss. But the other three, you know.
Well, and you know what? And here's the thing. A year ago, I think both of us pointed to this. Because when you had New England, when you had Denver, and it's a question coming into the season because you're thinking it's going to be one of those two teams and what separates them, you and I looked at the fact that the Denver-New England game, by a quirk of the schedule, was going to be in New England this year. Hence, you have to favor New England, and if it comes down to the tiebreaker, that would give it to them, beating Denver head-to-head. So here's the thing. Number one seed, but we don't think they can beat New England in any kind of a game,
whether the footballs are fully deflated,
half deflated, not deflated at all. We don't think they're going to beat them. Getting the number one seed
when you lose to New England is tough. Okay, that's
you're
going
to have to be clearly
point.
Better
that's
than them in the
point.
Standings. Yeah, I just go back to a year ago on that.
Okay, but, you know, they were only, I use air quotes, 4-2 in close games this year. That just gives you an idea how ridiculous things were the first 2 years, the Colts.
Yes.
So, look, none of them, no matter what the metrics say, the Colts have Andrew Luck, the other three teams don't. So they should win this division. Now, Houston, here's a team that both of us, and we weren't the only two by any means, called for a big jump this year.
Yes.
And they delivered 2-14. To 9-7.
Yes.
That makes it 4 years in a row that the team that had the number one overall draft choice was the most improved team in terms of wins and losses the subsequent year.
Well,
so,
and the funny thing
it makes sense, but what's funny is they got nothing out of like Kansas City the year before.
Yes.
They got nothing out of their pick.
Well, and that's what happens, too. I think like Kansas City, you know, when you have the number one pick because it was a snowball bad year for
which
you
is,
the year
which
before,
was the case with both Houston and Kansas City.
Yes.
Turnovers,
exactly.
Losing close games.
Yes, and you're starting over with a new coach. We've seen that sort of tends to be a steroid shot of where that gives you the boost. Bill O'Brien came in there, and he's been pretty successful as a head coach. You figured they'd be at least right around 500 the first year. Look, I thought that might be enough to steal the division from Indianapolis. Like you, I don't think it'll. They're even going to legitimately be in the conversation until they get a quarterback. I like what I saw in very limited action from Ryan Mallett. We'll see if he can be the guy next year based on that.
If
we'll see.
Can be, then I like this team
strong
a
arm
lot more.
And he looked accurate in his throws. That's important.
They're almost the anti-Indianapolis in that I kind of like this team everywhere except quarterback.
Yeah. I mean,
Hopkins is emerged as the new number one. I think he's outstanding.
Not a moment too soon because
I think
Andre
he's outstanding.
Johnson is
DeAndre
finally,
Hopkins.
Yeah. Andre Johnson's ready to become a two.
We talk about the Colts' unbelievable good luck in close games the last 3 years. The last 2 years, Houston only 4-14 in games decided by one possession. So, look. If Mallett's the guy that you think he is, then this can be a wild card team. But usually when you have a jump of 2-9 wins one year, plateaus,
right,
or kind of finishes in the middle. I think Houston does that, plateaus, or maybe goes down a little bit. And then the next year, I think,
yeah,
is when maybe they're set to challenge Indianapolis.
I still think, though, with the schedule, I think I still put them 8-8. I don't think
they
fall
off.
We'll
talk about the NFC South,
yeah,
at a different time. But
okay.
I think we have very different opinions on that division,
okay,
for next year.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to fall off very much.
No, I don't. Here's the thing. If they don't match the record next year,
yeah,
they'll go like 8-8.
That's what I'm saying.
Or 7-9.
That's where I got them. Yeah, you know, and for the other two teams in the division, again, Jacksonville being as bad as they were, maybe wasn't
a huge
surprise. By the
way, I, like you, said Houston 8-8 and would win the division.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
They actually, this was another weird case of a team overperforming our expectations.
Right.
A team that we were bullish on, but not making the playoffs.
Right.
So just
exactly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
there. No. That's, you know, that's a very good point. Jacksonville 3 wins, Tennessee 2 wins. Again, mea culpa on my part, because I had them both at 6 wins.
Way,
I thought they were going to be, you know.
By the way, when was the last time you heard a podcast where two people used mea culpa in a 10-minute span?
Well, I got to say, it's been a real long week with me. I am completely, completely exhausted as we're doing this. So you could say almost anything, and like 5 minutes later, it's going to pop in my head as though I thought of it.
Barack Obama is the greatest president in the history of the United States
of America.
Except
perhaps that.
Okay. I am testing. Stay tuned, folks. I'm going to drag this one out. In 5 minutes, Rick Morris could be saluting the finest.
We're going to see. Yeah.
Do you smell what Barack is cooking?
I wouldn't bet on that, actually. But Tennessee and Jacksonville, again, very disappointing by my standards.
They're not the greatest.
I thought Gus Bradley, again, I think a lot of him as a coach. I think a lot of Coach Wiz as a coach. I have to say, Coach Wiz, I think, is developing a real blind spot vis-a-vis quarterbacks.
Oh, I don't like you. You and I have disagreed on Coach Wiz for years, going back to Arizona.
I think he's developed a real blind spot in terms of thinking he can turn, you know, Flotsam and Jetsam into legitimate NFL quarterbacking.
Wasn't that a metal band in the early 90s? Flotsam and Jetsam, wasn't that a group?
No
song comes to mind, but
no,
I'm pretty sure that was
my
a name.
Mind,
and I thought that was a creative name.
I thought so, yeah. Yeah, I think that was a hair metal band, because you're talking from my heyday here. I think they were a hair metal band.
They were on that cusp of hair metal to grunge. Like, they were like in that, they were like that tweener
kind of
group.
So.
I don't know.
Which is, when
why
you think about it,
about
a strange kind of tweener
yes.
thing to be in. I will say this as well in terms of looking at this and in looking at these teams again, because I thought the coaching would have propelled them perhaps beyond where they were. But again, the real dregs of this division and having a long, long way to go, I think, to get anywhere here at this point. Tennessee having a chance to address quarterbacking in the draft, although they probably will take a pass on it. Jacksonville, you have to think, will not. So teams that are sort of in different spots, albeit being, you know, the absolute pits in this division.
Jacksonville, I said, would be 4-12 before the year. So that was pretty close. They went 3-13.
Yeah.
It's funny. This is going to be yet another time that we talk about the AFC South, but I'm going to look over to the NFC South.
Yep.
And I'll make this same point with Dan Quinn, who takes over in Atlanta, that I do with Gus Bradley here in Jacksonville. I think they're both fine coaches, but the problem is they go to these teams and they look around and all of a sudden it's like, oh, where's Richard Sherman? Where's Earl Thomas?
Right.
Coaching is a big part of things, but if you don't have talent on hand, then I mean,
I agree.
You can coach up manure a little bit, but only so much. So Jacksonville's a team that still ranks in the very bottom tier of talent in this league, and Tennessee is a team that I had the misfortune of watching several times this past year and making several terrible plays on them,
you
plus
have my,
the points.
You have my condolences.
They were awful. Remember they beat Kansas City in week one, and we're like, oh, there you go, Kansas City. We knew they'd regress.
Uh-huh.
Tennessee, after that, their only win was a game where they had to block a field goal against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
They were really, really bad.
A rancid football team, no question about
it. But what's interesting is, and you brought this up
off air.
So I was way off with Tennessee. I said 7 wins. But I also said something else before I gave that 7, because they had gone 7-9 the previous year. I said, you know what, Ricky Morris? There is no team in the AFC that that I feel, or really the entire NFL, that I feel I have a worse handle on than Tennessee.
Yep.
And you pointed out again off air that this is the second year in a row this happened. 2 years ago, I said that about Tampa Bay.
Yes.
And the bottom really dropped out on them. So
you're going to doom somebody if you say that about them going into 2015.
Yeah, that I'm like,
sorry,
you know, I don't
for
have
the
a handle.
Team you don't have a
yeah.
handle on.
So, again, when Tennessee drops, there's probably a little, like with the Jets.
Right.
They'll probably win more next year just because,
yes.
First of all, there ain't much.
Yeah.
The floor can't get much lower in Tennessee. But
right.
I don't like what Ken Whisenhunt's doing here. It's reminiscent of the poor job he did in Arizona. They need to get a quarterback where there's no doubt that he's a starter. Otherwise, he's just going to keep cycling through people, killing confidence. So
to a lesser extent, but I'm going back to what I said about the Browns. They've got a defense that's got enough players on it that it should be better than it is.
And you know what's funny is a lot of people said before the year,
yeah,
because Tennessee going into last year, everyone's like, when people started talking about, these quarterbacks might drop, you know, meaning, you know, Manziel and
right.
Bortles didn't, but, you know, Manziel and Bridgewater, should Tennessee consider taking a quarterback? I think they picked like around 11 or 12,
right.
And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And they want to pick Mettenberger in a later round, obviously.
Yep.
But there were people, smart people, who were like, you know, if Tennessee could get a quarterback, a real quarterback, this could be a playoff roster. Now, that looks foolish now, but there is some talent on hand.
There is.
Here. I just think that it just all kind of went wrong. This was a team that also, look, when you have 14 losses, some of them are going to be close.
Right.
And Tennessee did have quite a few of those. I think that... hold on 1 second here. What was their record in close games? I hate when I don't have this and I have to do it really quick off the fly. But I think they had more close losses than Jacksonville did.
Okay.
10 of their 13 came by more than a score.
Okay.
So the Jags were dominated as per usual. Tennessee, we don't think of it, but they played some close games. Let me just take a look here.
Oh, they did. They absolutely did.
Let me take
did.
A look. Early in the year. Well... Okay, they lost by 16, 26,
yeah.
24. Okay, well, there was the Browns. That game they should have won. So 1-1 there, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4. They were 1-5 in games decided by 8 points or less.
So that points to something
now,
there. Yeah,
they'll improve,
right.
But improvement. When I say they improve, they could improve to 4-12.
Well, exactly.
Or 5-11.
Nothing.
They will not improve to the level where they'll even sniff the playoffs.
5 wins feels like the ceiling, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to say 4 or 5 wins. And, again, just it's a bad situation there.
Okay, they pick number 2. Tampa Bay is going to pick a quarterback. You know that.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay will pick a quarterback number 1. Should Tennessee pick the one that Tampa Bay doesn't pick?
Boy, that's a tough one because, I mean, when you – For as much as we bagged on Johnny Manziel, there are two parts to the critique with him. And for me, first and foremost, it comes down to I don't think he has an NFL skill set. And then the other stuff, the baggage is him being an a-hole and everything else like that. Now, granted, the guy's going into rehab. We'll see what happens when he comes out.
I root for Johnny Manziel personally.
Not
professionally.
He's going into rehab. Best of luck to him in his life. I'd rather not see him quarterbacking my favorite team next year because I don't think he's got the pro
skill set. I'd also like to not see him hang with Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Don't hang out with him as well. With Jameis Winston, he is Manziel, but with all the goods.
No. Are we going to disagree there?
But with no, you cannot deny off-field.
Oh,
he is man.
Yeah, he's not.
But with the
no,
goods is
okay,
what I'm
okay,
saying.
Okay, I'm sorry.
With the goods.
My God, you almost came out of your lazy boy there.
Yeah, pretty much. I almost sprang there. But no, with the goods.
I thought we were going to fight live on air right
yeah,
there. Okay.
He checks off every box on the field. But for a guy who's still a complete a-hole, can you make him the face of your franchise? And that is – that. So that's not an easy question. If Tampa Bay does
– Well, I'll be honest. I don't think Jameis Winston's going to be there for Tennessee.
And that would be such a Tampa Bay thing to do
if they passed
on Mariota.
Oh, we will talk about – oh, I can't wait. Can we just do the NFC South now?
I don't disagree Winston's got a higher ceiling. I just don't think it's all ceiling on a question like this. I don't think – you know, Jamarcus Russell had a pretty high ceiling. But with that arm of his.
See, I think that is so unfair. That was the worst. Look, I know a lot of people did, like, like, you know, everyone rips, you know, the late Al Davis for making that pick.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
But because a lot of people are like, oh, you got to take Russell. But to me, Jamarcus Russell played, like, one good game. And it was against Notre Dame, an overrated Notre Dame team with Brady Quinn and your boy Chaz Weiss running the show.
Not my boy.
On national
decided
TV.
Decided schematic advantage.
Okay. And, well, yeah, he's got a schematic advantage of the buffet line, I think, too. But he played – Jameis Winston won the Heisman Trophy legitimately so and did not lose a single game in college till his last start.
I understand that.
Jameis Winston's not Jamarcus Russell.
No. But I'm saying, you know – His talent is much better, but it's a thing. It's a question also too of looking at you can't get mesmerized by ceiling. I agree.
That's a great point.
Mariota's got a lower ceiling. Guess what? He's also got a much higher floor because you look at Winston. Winston is of the two. Who's more likely due to off field stuff to turn into Ryan Leaf? It's Winston.
Yeah, but I think
that makes it a lower floor. By definition, if you can become Ryan Leaf, that floor is the bottom of the Grand Canyon.
You know what, though?
And you don't have that with Mariota.
Flaming out is flaming out in the league.
Like, yes.
It doesn't matter, really.
And Mariota won't flame out. He'll have a nice long career.
Oh, see, I don't know about that.
Really?
I think Mariota could just, like, yes, Winston could be a complete disaster off the field and get himself kicked out of the league or something like that. But, like, in the end, is there anything different than Mariota maybe just not being that good and flaming out? Because in the end, you've just wasted a high draft pick regardless.
But that's sort of the anti-Jamarcus Russell thing. You can't put too much on him looking bad in the national championship game. I mean,
he would have to be really bad to, like, be out of the league in a couple years,
right,
obviously.
Right.
But
I'm saying.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Well, we'll talk about that more with Tampa Bay because it's their choice.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk because I think that's going to be our biggest debating in this whole eight divisions thing is Tampa Bay.
Well, and as we look at it, and I think we were talking about this a little bit off air, doesn't the South as a whole sort of mirror the East? You have the one dominant team.
Yeah, I said that earlier. Dominant, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, is going to remain so.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a wild card in this group.
I don't either. That would really make it the mirror of the AFC East. So, all right, there we go. Love to give you some more, you know, unique hot takes here if we could back them up on, oh, Tennessee's going to fool y'all next year, folks. They're going to come out of nowhere. But, you know, couldn't do that with a straight face, so. The AFC South, like the AFC East, it is what it is.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.